Garden of Gethsemane and how that the Lord prayed. And we see the scene now as the Lord left the, you might say, the Last Supper and the First Supper, the Last Passover Supper and the First Lord's Supper, went to the garden. He betrayed, old Judas betrayed him. And there at the garden, whenever the high priest and all sent the guards after Jesus Christ with torches, and old Peter pulled out his sword, cut off the high servant's ear. And to think about it right now, and Jesus Christ is getting ready to go to the cross and hold back the angels. As we read these two verses of scriptures, 53 and 54, Jesus speaking at this time whenever he was surrounded. Think not that I cannot now pray to the Father, and he shall provide me with, or right now presently give me, more than 12 legion of angels. And in this study tonight, don't you think about him? He could have given me that many if he had asked for them, but hold back the angels. But now then shall these scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be. Let us pray. Father, we thank you here for this opportunity tonight that we might see ourselves a little closer in the mirror of God's word to understand how that we have a mission here on this earth. And Father, that you've called each and every one of us, oh God, and we need to ask ourselves this question tonight. Father, what can I do for the upbuilding of thy kingdom? What can I do, oh God, to move your kingdom forward? What can I do, Father, while I'm here on this earth for this little few days that we all have left? God, what can we do? Are we doing, God, what you call us to do? And, oh God, we pray, God, that we might continuously, oh God, be the people you'd have us to be in your kingdom's work. Thank you and praise you here again tonight, Lord, for all these blessings. In the name of Jesus, amen. In verse 50, 51, and 52, I'll read again. I'll read now. And Jesus said unto him, Friends, wherefore art thou come? Then came they, and laid hands on Jesus, and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand, which was old Peter, and drew his sword, and struck the servant of the high priest, and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword unto this place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. The Lord had some possibilities that night, and I'll go over a few of them. The possibilities he had, that Jesus Christ, he was not helpless, nor was he powerless. He could have called a legion of angels. But verse 53 says he would not hold back the angels. The enemy was all around him. Where could he go? He could pray to the Father. That's what he done. You know, and that's what we need to learn to do more all the time, is learn how to pray. Pray to the Father. His power was always continuously renewed because he had the Father. In time of danger, he had the Father. Jesus had no possessions here on this earth. He didn't have nowhere even to lay his head. You know, that's what I thought again about so many people I saw in Mexico. Nowhere, no possessions whatsoever on this earth of their own. Nowhere, not even to lay their head. But Jesus Christ was in the same. Nowhere to lay his head. But one thing he did have, he had a Father. He had a Father. He had been betrayed. His going to the cross was ahead of him. But he had a Father. The song we sing so long, many times, you know, if you've heard it whenever you're a kid, and all, he's got the whole world in his hand. He's got you and me in his hand, father and mother in the hand, a little bit of baby in his hand. But you see, that is so real to each and every one of us, because we're here tonight, and I assure you, we had some needs. We held up our hand about unspoken requests. Now, you have needs in your life and your family life here this night, because we're people and we have needs. There's sickness upon some people, and we know this disease is called cancer, and other diseases, you know, that people have. And then there's sorrow, all type of sorrow, you know, family sorrow, children's sorrow, health sorrow, that's all type of sorrow. And all type of needs seem like they're growing more all the time, all type of needs. And what do we need to do about this? Well, we can pray, because everything comes to our life. You know, one thing we can say as Jesus said, I have a Father. So no matter how great your needs are tonight, no matter what your needs are tonight, no matter how much sorrow that you are tonight, I want to tell you, you have a Father. You have a Father. But not on that political hill, did you know you and I and Jesus Christ, we are brothers and we have a Father, and we have the same Father. Jesus Christ could have prayed to that Father. He'd have sent 12 legions of angels. He said, hold back the angels. We'll tell you more about that in just a little while. But you see, he had a Father. And you and I have the same Father. And I might be struck down with all type of sickness. We don't know how much turmoil that we may have to face in this life. People go through terrible things. But you see, they have a Father if they're saved. And Jesus had a Father and the same Father. In distress and anxiety and perplex, we have a Father. I have a Father whose wisdom and power I can rely on. That's what I said about this lady. She relies on the power of Almighty God. It's just amazing to go into an area where God is working and people trust the power of God. And that's the reason I like to go, because it helps me so much. It's not what I do or what I buy or what I do when I go to the mission, and Brother Ray's fixing to go on a mission before long, and Sarah's going to go on a mission before long, and Donald's been going on missions and going to go on missions. It's not what we do when we go on missions at a foreign mission field, but it's what it does for you. And that's the reason every one of us has a mission, not some foreign land or another, but our first mission is right here next door in our homes. That we have a mission next door, down the street, around the corner, that we have missions. And just rely on God. But what he can do, I've seen things that I never saw before since I've been going on missions. We was driving two trailers and two trucks down to Mexico, and Brother Ben Glosson just stopped, filled up with gas, and we filled up with gas, and the lady saw his minister on the side and his mission for ministry. She just pulled out $10. Here's $10 for your ministry. You know, we had a kind of a breakdown. Had a bolt come loose under the hitch of the van, was holding up the trailer, and I got some bolts and got under there. A man come by, seen us with a problem. He stayed there about an hour and a half till we got it bolted back up. Then he prayed for us. I'm telling you, God sends people, angels, to help you. He sends people to help you. I never understood it last before. But I'm telling you, the power I can rely on. You see, that I rely on the Father. I have a Father. And the Christian life is an exchange life. It's not just a change life. It is an exchange life. To understand that. God doesn't just change us from what we were to something better. He exchanges his life with our life. So that he takes our sin and we take his holiness. See, that's an exchange life. See, God didn't just come to make you better. When you accept Jesus Christ, I don't think he came to make you better. He came to exchange his life for your life. Not to make you better. You can't be better than yourself. He's going to exchange. You live his life now. And you know what? He takes my sin and I took his righteousness or his holiness. So you are righteous tonight. You're a holy tonight because you have took his holiness and he took your sin. See, the Father then don't see you as sinners. He sees you as holy, and he sees you as righteousness. Oh, but how about how you behave this week, what you done, what you didn't do? Well, yeah, but you see, that's not what God sees. God sees the blood of Jesus. Whew. Whew. He don't see what you should have done or how you acted, behaved, and said and done. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for not looking down and see me for how I am, but seeing Christ's blood upon our life. He takes our sin and gives us his righteousness. Not only that, he takes my weakness and he gives us his strength. Because I'd have quit a long time ago if it had been for my strength. I don't have the strength to keep going, but I have a Father. Gives us his strength. I get shook up and have all the anxiety of takes place of thinking about things that you can't control, and you worry about things, your family and your sickness and your sorrow and your difficulties and this and that and other. And he takes that anxiety and he gives me peace that passes all understanding. I can't explain it, what it's talking about. He exchanges his life for my life. Not just a changed life. Not just a changed life. My weakness and poverty, I'll tell you what, his power and his riches, heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ, he prayed to the Father. He prayed suspiciously for certain things, Jesus did, always. 53, again, he says, you know, I could have prayed and he'd have sent me more than 12 legion of angels. 12 legion of angels. Roman soldiers, that was 6,000. One legion was 6,000. 12 would be 72,000 angels. Can you imagine? I got to think about what one angel could do. You know, one angel come down and roll that stone away. One angel, you know what, done started an earthquake when Peter and John was in prison and started an earthquake. And you look about what angels done all through the Bible, just one angel of the Lord. And he could have had 72,000. Can you imagine what that could have done? He says, hold back the angel. I ain't quite through. Hold back the angel. We need to learn to pray like that about certain things, certain specified issues. You know, boy was in a prayer meeting. And at the prayer meeting, preacher said, anybody need me to pray for on that? No, man, people lined up. Preacher was praying for him. Got his time, you know. He said, what you come for? He says, I have hearing problems. He, you know, put his hand, the preacher put his hands on ear and began to pray and pray and pray and took his hands off. He says, how's your hearing now? He says, I don't know. It'll be next Tuesday at the courthouse. Y'all get that? Let it sink in. We need to pray for certain things. Certain things. Jesus always did that. Certain things. You know, God had assigned angels to watch over his children. You know, I'm just amazed now we made it this far, aren't y'all? What y'all doing, y'all with the children, you know, when you're little running around and your own kids. How in the world have we survived this long, you reckon? I believe God has got angels looking after little children. Not only that, I believe God has got angels looking after us. I really do. Now, you know, the Bible don't say how many angels that God created, but I tell you what, he created enough of them to get the job done. And it says, you know, in Hebrews 1 and 14, are they not all ministers, spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? I got angels looking after me. You don't know y'all have angels looking after you? And not only that, you know what? There's a hedge of protection of angels right there guarding me all the time. I'm going to tell you, God looks after his children. The devil BB guns no match for God's artillery. Y'all know that? There's no match. Hebrews are watching over us, standing at attention. And that's what angels are doing. They're not telling what. They got the ministering spirits. And they stand attention as we make our way through this life. And they stand attention as we go into glory. You know, we're going to glory all the time. And angels are standing attention as we march through this life and we're going to glory. Now, we don't pray to angels, but they are alert and ready to do the work because of our prayers. They have to work because in the realm of the service that they was called. Do you work in the realm of the service you was called? As we think about this, the power of prayer, the resources that Jesus had of his Father and the assistance of angels. He says, hold back the angels. The Lord pathway. Jesus had heavenly assistance. Jesus is saying, hold back the angels. There's a path I must walk. There's a cross I must face. And there's a death that I must die. Hold back the angels. You know the same thing for you and I? That there's a path that God has called us to walk in. You see, Jesus was determined to fulfill God's purpose for his life. Are you? Did you know God's got a purpose for every one of us? I said, God, you know, I want to do whatever you want me to do. I know that I can't keep going like I'm going. There's something. Whatever you want me to do, what rest of the life that I have. You know, do y'all ever ask God that? The rest of the life that you have, you know, we don't have long, do we? I doubt any of us will be here 100 years from now, do y'all? I doubt it. We don't have long. Well, what is it that I can do while I'm here on this earth for you, Lord? Let me know. Help me to do what I need to do. Jesus was determined to do that. John 9:4, listen. I must work the work of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Luke 9:51 says, and it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he standeth set his face to go to Jerusalem. Matthew 20:20, it says, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. You know, determined. Are you determined? Or have you set your face towards the calling that God has called you? Have you? Oh, David lost a battle with the Philistines, and he kept on losing and losing. So he had a council. You'll find this in 2 Samuel 23. He had a council of his soldiers and his officers, and they called him about the best man he could pick to run his battles. And that was Captain Eleazar, a young captain. And this man was so committed. Eleazar was so committed to the task of winning the battle over the Philistines. He was so committed to the job of winning that battle that he went out to battle. And he was so committed to winning that battle, he fought all day and half the night, and he was so fatigued at the end of the day, and he was winning the battle, that he was so weak, as you read this in 2 Samuel 23, he couldn't hardly make it off his horse, and they had, it says in his word of God, his sword clave unto his hand. He gripped the sword so hard and so determined, he fought so long and so hard, they had to pry the sword out of his hand. He just gripped it so hard, so tightly, it just worked its way into the hand. He was so determined that he was going to win the battle against the enemy. Eleazar was determined to win. I'm going to tell you what, and Jesus Christ also would have that same determination. He was going to win that battle against old Satan. And you know, I just read a list of our senior adults. And I'd like for you to know tonight that we have a lot of senior adults. And I believe you can name them Eleazar. Because they come to church when they didn't feel like coming to church. They come to church when they was hurting and pain. They come to church and it was a great struggle for them to come to church. They meant they're going to let their light shine before men, that they might glorify the Father in heaven. And we got scores of our senior adults is trying to pass that light on to you and I and to the younger generations. And they set their face towards the calling of God in Christ Jesus to do what God has called us for. And I pray, God, that we might see what our senior adults have done and what they have left us. And I tell you, I really do believe that we're dropping the baton, though, along the way. They were so determined. The Roman soldiers, they lost the battle. But the Lord's prophecy there in verse 54, as we hurry along, but now shall the scripture be fulfilled that thus must be. Verse 18 of chapter Matthew 5 and 18. For verily I send you till heaven and earth pass. One jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Hold back the angels, the scripture might be fulfilled. And the Bible says in Psalm 19:105, my favorite verse, the word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And verse 11 it says, the word that I have hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The Lord's pattern for us, desire. No other force except God's force. Jesus Christ didn't desire no other forces but the Father's force. I'm going to tell you, we don't need to worry about the force of anybody else to help us. We don't need to look to the government, Washington, D.C., or a president, but not the wisdom of man. The Bible says, nor by might, nor by the power, but by the Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God for pulling down of strongholds. Luke 22:38 says, and they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, it is enough. You see, the two swords. He says, put up your sword, Peter. To try to overthrow the Roman government, Peter pulled out a sword. To try to fight the whole army, the force of the Roman army, but a little sword. He said, put it up. You see, today, you know what? We try to fight the force with our military power and the power of this country against the devil, that's not enough. Just like old Moses. You know what old Moses done? He tried to deliver the nation of Israel with his hands, and he killed an Egyptian and buried that Egyptian in the sand. If he had killed one Egyptian every day for 100 years, he still wouldn't have killed all the Egyptians. They'd have still been in bondage. Moses, you don't do it that way. It's not by the power of man, but the power of God. Y'all ever thought about the power of God? Psalms 20:7 says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Jesus prepared to go to the mission that God has called him, reconciliation. And he gave us that same pattern, the church at home and every one of us. Jesus commissioned reconciliation and redemption in the pathway. You know, Elijah and his servant, 2 Kings chapter 6, Syrian armies all around him. His servants got real nervous. He said, boy, he said, they all around us. They are front and back. They everywhere. I mean, the Syrian armies all around. And old Elisha says, fear not, for they are more with us than they are with them. He said, man, I want you to show me. I can't see them. Look like to me. They all around us. Name of two of us. He said, Lord, open his eyes. And the Lord opened his eyes, and he seen a host of angels all around. You know, I'm going to tell you tonight, Jesus Christ says, hold back the angels in his day so that he could release the angels to help us in our day. Hold back the angels of those 12 legions. I'll go to the cross where God can release the angels in our day to protect us. Oh, I'm telling you, one cannot touch you. One cannot touch me without tampering with the authority of heaven. You got some needs tonight? You got some needs tonight? Yes, we all got some needs. I tell you what, you got a Heavenly Father. You got a Heavenly Father. We won't have time tonight for a song, but I tell you, if anybody got anything they'd like to say this hour, would you mind standing up and saying anything you'd like to say? Anything you'd like to say tonight? If not, our time is up, and I'm sorry it took too long. If nothing else, we'll stand, and we're going to be dismissed this hour. Last Brother Darrell, if he would, dismiss us, please.